Hey, everybody. Unfortunately, the portal that transfers your questions to Reese's and Snickerdoodle wasn't really available this week. But if you check back on Thanksgiving, we'll have a special bonus episode of Just Reese's and Snickerdoodle answering your questions and some other fun stuff. But until then, enjoy the episode and have a good Thanksgiving.
Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, whatever that is. Today we're recommending The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. This is a story both Reese's and I enjoy.
And it coincides with the fantasy theme.
So if you're enjoying the podcast, give the free trial a chance. It'll help pay for some of the hosting. I'm not sure what that is.
Quick, download it before the movie comes out, post haste.
Enjoy the episode!
Welcome to the Fantasy Fiction Podcast. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And I'm Paul.
And Paul is
right.
Excited.
And now I'm Paul!
Is that better?
There
it is.
Paul is our special guest this week as we talk about druids and what, Josh? What is
familiars.
The other thing?
Familiars.
Those two things are not codependent.
They're not. They're not even.
They aren't, but they do pair well.
They do.
Nicely.
They
I
did.
Think.
They did in my story, I think. Hopefully.
I think so too in mine. Paul?
Mine as well.
Good.
Well, we'll have to all listen and. Listen and be the judge of that.
Yeah, we'll determine that, Paul. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Jesus Christ.
This is cutthroat. This is cutthroat shit
on
fantasy.
Yeah, it's just like
fiction.
It goes from friendly to just I'm just getting stabbed, I'm getting shivved right away.
Paul, you just came into the lion's den, bro.
Man.
Paul, Josh and I were sleeping, and you came in, and
we were
now
like,
you have to die.
This is a prison rule. Podcast,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Shoot your lion lasers out of your eyes and kill this man.
Jesus, you guys are space lions?
Yeah.
We don't like to be called space lions, but yeah, we're space
lions. It's derogatory. That's our word.
what did you do this week, Paul? Did you do anything fun?
This week? Well, we've been pretty busy. We've been doing smart guy shooting. So basically, the weekends are all shooting, and then the week is like trying to catch up. I had to edit for Continue and do all that stuff because my episode went up this week. But I got to watch some extras, which I had never watched before. And I was like, I want to get around to watching that. So
fantastic.
Yes, it was very funny. Watched the first episode of that. And then I played some more Hearthstone, actually.
Hearthstone. It's a good game, isn't
it? It's a great game. I played it with Jonathan. it was my first human contact in that game, and he obliterated me. It was similar to when I came onto this podcast and just got obliterated by both of you right away.
Well, you walk into the lion's den, bro.
Your prompt for this week is getting obliterated.
It's getting laser-eyed, yeah.
I have Hearthstone as well. It's funny that you called me and told me you had Hearthstone.
Whoops.
Oh, wow.
I was wary of talking about it on here.
Jeez.
I've had no time to play anything, so it doesn't matter. Today, actually, it was like overcast here in LA. I'm like, I'm going to play some games. I'm going to play some video games. And I have Dungeon Siege 3, I think, for PS3.
Oh, nice.
And I've never played it. I just bought it when it was on sale one day. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe that's what happens tonight. Guys, it's still 7:30 over here on the West Coast. Anything could happen in my life.
Yo, when it gets cloudy in or like hazy in LA, do they just like come outside and they're like, shut it down.
Yep. Everyone go home.
LA's closed for the day. No
sun.
Dude,
it's pretty much everyone's just like, I have to get where I'm going quicker. Hit the gas. Brakes aren't allowed anymore. Dude, when it rains in LA, it turns into Destruction Derby for PlayStation 1, the first one. with the same graphics, like bits of pieces of everything going everywhere.
Just like muddy pixel, shitty pixel graphics.
Oh, man.
And the cars go like 10 miles per hour because there's no sense of speed at all.
There's no like relative speed sense.
How about you, Josh? What did you do?
I did the same. I had to work on some continue. Also, Smart Guys.
Oh, it's Fantasy Month, by the way.
Yeah, it's Fantasy
people
Month.
Who listen to this podcast and haven't checked out Continue, go ahead and check it out because this month they're playing all fantasy games.
Yeah, it coincides with this.
The fantasy theme.
The fantasy theme. Somebody said that once. I watched Flight, the movie with Denzel Washington.
That's good use
the alcoholic drink man. The alcoholic flight man.
Yeah, he's a flight man who flies a plane upside down, a jet.
He flies it upside down.
Oh, yeah, it's totally believable.
Where did he go to flight man school?
Cocaine.
Oh. Oh, was this during
the
70s?
He doesn't really fly a plane upside down.
Yeah, he does. It's in the beginning of the movie. It's not spoiling anything.
Is it the part of the movie where he's drunk and he's like, I'm crazy flying upside down drunk?
Yeah, he gets on a plane drunk and he like takes coke in the morning to like even himself out, you know, like we all do.
Like we all do. Right. We've been there.
Like I will be doing tomorrow. And I don't know what to do with coke. But so like something happens with the plane, right? And it's like going in a nosedive. So his solution is to invert the plane, which is to flip the plane upside down.
That makes perfect sense. If the plane's dropping, you just turn the nose upside down and it'll drop up into the sky.
Yeah, but he's like 500 feet above the ground.
Yeah,
which is like impossible.
It'll drop up into the sky then, though.
Yeah,
sounds like he's going to get in trouble for this maneuver.
He gets in trouble because they take his blood and they find out that he's been doing like all kinds of crazy drugs.
Yeah, he's been hanging out with Tony Montana.
And I think he learned something in the end.
Does he learn to be a better man, or does he go into sleep in a grave?
It's a Robert Zemeckis film, so he learns to be better or some stupid thing.
Okay.
Wait, wasn't it real?
No.
Oh, I thought it was a real world thing.
No, I don't.
I think it was maybe inspired by that guy who landed the plane in the
Sully.
New York River, maybe?
Captain Sully.
Oh.
I'm cutting that out because I was wrong, and I'm not going to sound like an idiot.
No, there was a little bit of that in there.
I called it the New York River.
New York. Yeah, whatever they call that thing. I don't know.
The Hudson?
Hudson.
The Great New York River.
Dude, good fish. Go fishing. Yeah. New York River.
I saw a dead cat in there once. That's a true story.
I'm going to go ahead and keep that in the podcast. Is that a true story? You really saw a dead cat?
Yeah, it was
there?
A dead cat. Like, we used to go to New York every year, like, with my family, and we go, like, on
to
the
go
Twin
look
Towers.
In the river.
Yeah,
the river.
Look for dead cats.
And look for dead cats because they were worth a lot of money where we were from. And we would go to, like, the Statue of Liberty, and you go on the ferry, and you just look down at the fucking Hudson, and it would be, like,
dead cat.
Dead cat, crack vial, dead cat, dead body.
Ugh.
It was pretty bad, but.
Well, with that, let's escape the horrible world we live in and venture into a world of fantasy.
Let's do it.
And make some sex.
Guys, are you ready for this story?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to read it anyway. It is called The Druid Academy of Shapeshifting and Turning into Awesome Shit.
I'm ready now.
All right. It was just another day at the Druid Academy of Shapeshifting and Turning into Awesome Shit.
It's good that you put that title before this.
That's why I did it. A school where young adult druids would go to further their education and become really fucking good at becoming one with nature. The school was located on a campus that had an arboretum and stables where young druids could go and practice turning into various animals. There were saber cats, saber eagles, saber mice, merc monks, bapples, green bapples, fur beetles, and even Moses, a talking saber-toothed bulldog that also served as the school's mascot and shot off the cannon at the school's sword-fighting tournaments and hoedowns.
Why doesn't Druid School have a sword-fighting tournament?
I don't know. They fight with swords. Oh, wait. Nah,
I like that they named... I like that they named him Moses so that he could just not be obviously just another saber thing.
Yeah.
That's really smart marketing on their part.
Yeah, no, they were thinking ahead.
I agree, and Moses is like a fun name.
Yeah. The school also assigned a familiar to each student to assist them in their studies and serve as a life coach. Yup, just an average day at the Druid Academy, except for the fact that it was also Druid Prom!
No! Why am I saying no to that?
Because the angst, Dom. There's so angst already.
Yes, Druid Prom.
I'm never going to get a date to this stupid dance, said Jimmy Treebranch, a nobody elf from the northern Darrenosian forest. And not the good part, the poor part. I mean, my antlers haven't even come in yet, he said sadly to Mr. Yakitori, his Japanese Oni familiar slash life coach.
You should ask a Pepe a frame heart,
Mr. Yakitori said.
Racism.
Isn't that racist? That's how he talks. He just talks like he's a Japanese guy.
Okay.
He's not speaking English.
You know what? It was racist of me to assume that was racist. You're right.
Yeah, you don't know him yet. Wait till the end of the story. All right.
You should escort out to Biggie Framart,
Mr. Yakitori said as he pointed across the campus commons toward a jizzly centaur druid with just the sweetest barely legal chest yams.
Oh, man, this is Thanksgiving themed.
Oh, yeah, the yams.
Oh, yeah.
Nah, dude, she's never going to go out with me. She's the hottest centaur in school. Even when she shapeshifts into a dung-chugging fur beetle, she's still super hot.
I still think you should ask her out, Mr. Yakitori said as he hovered above Jimmy. You want some of this sake?
Yes. No thanks, Mr. Yakitori.
Is he offering his underage student sake?
No, really sake? College, dude. They're fine.
Oh, Druid Prom at college? Okay.
Yeah, like...
I'm buying it.
Yeah, whatever. Mm. No thanks, Mr. Yakitori.
Cowabunga, dude, he replied.
Then he chugged a bottle of sake, but it just went right through his ghost body because he was a dead ghost.
Oh, my God.
Suddenly, Jimmy fell into the ground with a thud, and his scrolls and spellbooks fell every which way. As he picked himself up off the ground, he looked up and saw Falcon Doomsword, the most popular and handsome high elf druid in school, with his bully posse.
You like what you see over there, tree branch? Falcon chided. Stay away from my girl.
Falcon's posse laughed and kicked Jimmy's scrolls out of reach as Falcon's familiar, a talking hairbrush, brushed Falcon's perfect blonde locks.
What a I don't like this guy already.
You shouldn't.
This is great writing.
I didn't like him from his name. I knew he was a bad guy.
You know, I was going to give him a chance until I saw the familiar, and I don't like him now.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit. Bitch, you don't even have antlers yet, Falcon continued. How did your poor ass elf dad even get you into this school, you scrub ass piece of elf trash?
Wow. Oh, man.
My dad died when I was a kid, Jimmy replied sadly.
Oh, yeah? He probably killed himself because he looked at your face and reminded him of himself, of whom he also hated.
Oh, my God.
What an asshole, dude.
Damn, he's good at insults, though.
You gotta give him that.
Falcon's posse let out a sitcom-y, ooh.
Pathetic, Falcon said as he started to walk away. That guy a dick. You should not let people treat you like that Jimmy Tree Branch. You're a very valuable person. You deserve to be treated as such. You have a lot to offer.
Quick question. Is this going to end up in a Karate Kid situation? Because I'm kind of getting that vibe.
I don't know, maybe.
Jimmy Treebranch sounds like a guy who would overcome bad guys.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. There's some stuff going on. I know, Mr. Yakitori, but Falcon is the most popular and powerful elf druid in this damn place. Plus, he's handsome as fuck. Suddenly, Falcon turned around mid-moonwalk and started to doggy back over toward Jimmy.
What did you say, Tree Branch? He shouted.
I said you were handsome.
Oh, so what? Now you want to kiss me or something?
No, I mean, yes. I mean, I just think you're a good-looking dude is all.
That's it, Tree Branch. Meet me at the standard pole after class for a druid-off. Winner take all.
What does that even mean? Jimmy asked, confused.
Winner take all!
See? Winter's going to take all. This is scary.
I mean, I thought it was pretty plain what was going to happen. Why did you have to even ask that question?
He didn't. He didn't win or take all. He doesn't know. Falcon seawalked his way over toward Becky Flamehart and put his arm around her. He glared at Jimmy, then made a throat-slitting motion with his free hand, and as another student walked by, he cast a root spell, and the student was dragged into the earth, buried alive, and died of asphyxiation.
This guy does not fuck around.
Oh, my God.
No, he does not. Mr. Yakitori, I'm boned.
He just murdered that guy.
I was just going to say, the school allows murdering of students between students?
Dude,
that guy
really
didn't even do anything. Jimmy Treebranch, he has beef with. He didn't even just murder him right there. He just murdered this other guy.
Collateral damage, bros. Collateral damage.
This really is a rough part of town, isn't it?
This is cutthroat.
Muy vey.
Muy vey. All day long, Jimmy was preoccupied. During Forest Health class, he couldn't think of anything else but his impending druid battle with Falcon. He was a nervous wreck until he looked over at Becky Flamehart and he saw several cute birds braiding her hair and symbiotically picking worms out of it. He let out a sigh. Mr. Yakitori, what am I going to do? I'm the least powerful druid in the school. I can barely shapeshift. I don't know how to harness the power of the full moon. I can't even cleanse a curse off of someone without running out of mana.
Just to try your best. That is all you can ever do.
You know, racist, but why?
The best ones always are, man.
That's just how he talks. He just talks that way. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Finally, 26 o'clock rolled around, and all classes were over. Jimmy wandered the empty halls, desperately trying to think of a way out of the druid off, until finally he had an idea. I'll just run away, he said.
What a pussy.
Just as he was about to bolt right the shit out of that place, he turned around and ran into Becky Flamehart. Oh, I'm so sorry, he said. It's okay, Becky replied. Don't you have to go, like, fight Falcon out by the standard pole? Yeah, but it's okay. I wouldn't blame you if you pussied out like a giant pussy. Anyway, see you at the prom tonight? She asked. Becky trotted away, and Jimmy was left with only one option. Just then, he heard a chant coming from the outside. Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. A huge crowd of druids had gathered to watch the druid off. Jimmy, 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 they shouted as the dead kid who was buried started to lifelessly be exhumed. As he emerged from the cold, dead ground, he held up a pennant that said, Jimmy Rules, with a Z.
Now he has to do it.
Yeah, right? Just then, Jimmy emerged from the front of the academy, followed by Mr. Yakitori, and the crowd cheered. Are you ready to get your face handed to your ass, Falcon yelled.
I read ahead right there.
Yeah, he did. Jimmy entered the circle that had formed around Falcon, and the druid off was on. First, Falcon turned into a saber bear, lifted up a broken tree, and cracked it over his head. The crowd went nuts.
Damn.
Jimmy countered by turning into a saber kitten. The crowd booed. You bring me this weak-ass shitty shit, Falcon yelled. As he did, he transformed into a saber cat with mange and rabies. The crowd erupted, and some of the younger students fainted.
Shippu-shippu into the moon beast, Mr. Yakitori yelled.
Jimmy remembered back to his advanced shape-shifting class and quickly tried to turn into an owlkin. An advanced level beast form, very difficult to turn into. Jimmy focused as hard as he could, and when the transformation was over, there he sat, just a sad pine tree. Just a pine tree. Falcon laughed again and it transformed into a galaxy kid.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Against the tree?
Yeah, dude. The most horrific, unimaginable, advanced form of Alkin there was. He had barbed wire antlers and a beak of the sexiest eagle in the land.
Jesus. I don't, like, regardless of how this turns out, this guy won the druid.
Yeah. He summoned a hurricane spell, and it surrounded the crowd and blew all the girl druids' leaf bras and panties clear off into space. The crowd went so nuts, they flipped over the dean's VW Beetle. The dean rode a very wide beetle to work every day. Jimmy was spent. He didn't know what to turn into next. He looked over at Mr. Yagatori, who gave him a nod. Just then, he knew what to do. Jimmy focused his remaining mana and shifted into the most complicated thing he knew how to transform into. A hot dog. The crowd was stunned. Jimmy had turned into a hot dog with spicy brown mustard and onions.
That's delicious.
They were shocked. Just then, there was a single clap, then another, then another. The student who was buried alive and held the Jimmy pendant started a slow clap. Soon the whole crowd was clapping and cheering. Jimmy untransformed with a huge smile on his face. Falcon was pissed. He focused his remaining spiritual energy and turned into a sausage pizza. The crowd was going fucking insane, and some started to riot and knock down the broom ball uprights. All of a sudden, caca! A giant saber eagle swooped down and picked up Falcon and flew into the sky like a million feet up, took a bite, decided they hated pizza, and dropped Falcon until he hit the ground and died instantly. The crowd went full tilt riot posse. Falcon's posse ran off into the forest to see if they could find their leader. The entire campus was going berserk. Just then, Becky Flameheart walked up to Jimmy. "Hey, you turned into a really good hot dog back there," she said, and she twirled a chewed piece of gum around her antler. "See you at the dance?" Jimmy smiled as Mr. Yagatori floated over his shoulder. "Cowabunga, dudes!" And I wrote,
oh man,
the moral of the story is don't be a bully, because a giant deus ex machina bird might pick you up as a pizza and drop you until you die.
What I love is Jimmy was brilliant, because fucking middle school kids love hot dogs and pizzas.
Yeah, dude,
I thought it was high school.
Yeah, it's like college high school,
whatever. They
but
love
middle
that.
School kids do love that stuff.
They love that. He was going to win hearts and minds, even if he didn't win the battle.
Yeah, he had heart.
Yeah.
That's, you know, he'd had to just look inside himself and find the hot dog that's in all of us.
All right, my story is called How Much Weight I Squat Every Day and How Good It Feels for My Buns.
That's the name of your story.
Yeah, that's not the name of my story. I'm just kidding. That was just something funny that I wanted to say.
Oh, man.
But squatting does make my buns feel good.
That's true.
That's true.
So my story is actually called Last Ditch Familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, okay. Hmm.
All right.
I'm ready.
I'm interested.
Yeah, it's an intriguing
You got
name,
me.
Perry Whitesnake, dressed in his favorite Wyvernana cutoff t-shirt and black skinny pantaloons, drank dark brown dwarven ale from the skull of an orc he had just killed the fuck out of.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
There were bits of brain still floating in the ale, but he relished them because brains turned immediately into muscle when ingested. Or at least that's what Barbarian Bodybuilder magazine said. Perry was half barbarian and half druid. Double the class, double the ass, was Perry's very cool and not so bro-ish catchphrase.
Just to clarify, this is in Daranos?
No, this actually takes place in Stormscale.
Stormscale?
Yeah.
Where's okay.
that? I'll say this. I edited out the Stormscale reference, but it took place in Stormscale. All in a right. tavern in Storm. Isn't Stormscale the dwarven city outside of Orcspire?
Inside Orcspire.
Inside, yeah. Mm. There may be some Daranos references.
All right.
It's canon.
It's canon. He was also half luchador, half pro bodybuilder, and half defier of fraction logic.
What is that?
Because it's like multiple halves of things.
That's too smart. That's way too smart.
Too smart. That's too smart.
Too smart. It's canon.
Earlier in the day, Perry and some fellow druids had fallen upon a band of now extremely dead orcs. They had transformed into various ravenous beasts and slaughtered the ever-living shit out of the unsuspecting brigands, while their musical griffin familiars hovered overhead, playing the Minor Times, I Fuck for Money, and swooping down to do floor punches on the desiccated remains during the breakdown.
Dude. Oh my god!
Yeah,
floor
man.
Punches?
They fucked them up, dude.
They're ready.
Damn. They were already dead, I thought.
Dude, they were celebrating, man. Bloodlust, man. That does it to you.
Yeah, he's right.
Oh my god.
That's just their griffin familiars, man. Those things are crazy.
Oh my god.
Although their party had only formed earlier in the day out of sheer boredom and a need to go kill some things. Sorry. They had slaughtered the orcs with the grace of a Busby Berkeley choreographed dance and the speed of a premature ejaculator. Do you know
about... Paul's story's too smart.
They had incredible teamwork. Better than the Mighty Ducks before they did all the training, like passing eggs and shit. And probably better than the Mighty Ducks after all the training, too. But not quite as good as Cobra Kai teamwork. But it was still fucking pretty good teamwork.
Dude, we got two fucking Karate Kid references already. Damn, man.
Wait, was Cobra Kai even that... Did they even work together as a team?
Remember when they beat the shit out of Ralph Macchio in the skeleton outfits? That was some damn good teamwork.
Okay,
that
all
was right. good teamwork.
They did have to come together as a team in the twilight hours.
Yeah.
That's a pizza mess.
And they had to come together as a team to get that costume set together.
That's true.
You know?
Very true.
They all had to go buy those matching costumes.
Yeah.
So, you know. Perry cataloged their skills and abilities for future reference while he drank, as he did after every fight with new party members. There was Liana the Liquid Death, capable of transforming her body into a near-liquid jelly being, entering her foes' bodies through their noses... and exploding them from the inside out.
Jesus.
That's incredible.
And Brock Mithrilcock, capable of transforming into a man-sized rooster with a massive mithril-tipped schlong, used for pounding his foe's skulls into jello powder or pounding various orifices, as seen in Telemancer porn films like Debbie Does Darinos.
That's a good one, man. They showed that in that movie.
Yeah.
It's canon.
It was super famous.
They showed that on the movie scrolls.
I googled famous porns because I was trying to find other names and I couldn't find any.
I think that's like the most famous one.
Yeah, absolutely. There was also Jeremon, the insufferable git, capable of being a total douche and having a form no one cares about. And Harry Knucklefuck. Of all the druids, Harry had the most renown. Harry Knucklefuck was famous for his trademark sex maneuver, the Knucklefuck.
I don't even want to know.
Hold on. Only women, and maybe a few men, who had personally experienced the knuckle fuck knew exactly what it was and how pleasurable it felt. And they weren't talking.
It's like a Dear Abby.
So, I imagine because they're dead.
Holy shit.
I don't know, man. It was pleasurable.
Oh my god, I'm puke.
Oh man.
Hey, Whitesnake, said Harry. Pretty good fight today for a druid who can't even summon a familiar.
Damn.
Perry gulped his ale. Your knuckle fucking ass, I can't. They're all just on cooldown. Your mom's on cooldown, said Harry.
Yeah!
Damn, he would know. Harry would know.
He would know. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
When you guys laugh, it makes me laugh so hard.
You're doing it. You're doing it.
I can't help it.
Oh, man.
Got him, said Jeremond.
Nice.
Harry glared at Jeremond. The bar settled into absolute silence. Harry erupted from his chair and performed a hurricane rana on Jeremond. Harry's thigh muscles were so strong that when he swung Jeremond's body around, the skin and muscles stayed stuck between Harry's legs, but his skeleton ripped right out of his butthole and flew through the tavern window. Harry got up from the ground, brushed his hands, and sat back down on his stool. No one said a goddamn thing. Might vomit.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
all right,
relax.
I gotta
relax.
Turn this again.
Everybody relax.
Yes, he killed that druid, yes.
Oh, man.
What? Harry was right. He was just a pussy.
Oh, my God.
I'm crying. I know, dude. It gets better.
Oh, my God. I can't see.
I know. I'm crying. You guys laughing is making me... I didn't laugh this hard while I was writing this, I assure you.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God. No one said a goddamn thing, and the barkeep quietly pulled out a broom to sweep away Jeremon's dead, stupid skin and musculature. Despite Harry's sexual prowess and deadly fighting moves, Perry wasn't scared. He possessed his own awesome druid transformation skills, capable of taking forms such as Super Raptor, Swift Stag, Tree Man, Twice as Tall Tree Man, Non-Denominational Sea Spirit, Bear with Flaming Mace Arms, Crazy Scientist Guy.
Crazy Scientist Guy.
You dare bring science into the world of Orc Spire.
He's just that crazy, man.
Oh my god, that crazy scientist guy.
Oh my god.
And Dropkick Champion.
That's the best one.
That's why I ended on it.
That's the best one.
The only choice for him was to escalate hard. If you're so tough, why don't we settle this outside? Druid melee duel. The four of us. He pointed at Liana and Brock. They nodded. Harry smiled. It's on, but one condition. Familiars only. No transformations.
Oh, man.
Perry almost whizzed a tsunami's worth of piss out of his piss hole. It was too late. He couldn't back down now. There was no other way to save face. Fuck it. Let's rumble. Sudden transitional drum beats, even more dramatic than the ones in Lost.
Like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, pretty much.
The shit's happening drums.
Oh, dude. Man. Shit's happening drums.
Shit.
Led by the four druids, the tavern occupants spilled out into the dirt-covered town square. Harry pointed to the large man-sized fly who was quietly drinking a glass of mead at the end of the crowd. Flyman, you're officiating. Flyman did a spit take of his mead.
But I'm on vacation. Wait. How do you even know who I am?
Suck an egg, Flyman. Flyman shrugged his shoulders and pulled on a striped referee shirt. Harry grabbed...
It's canon!
It's canon. Harry grabbed Flyman's drink and poured it onto his stupid, ugly fly head.
Eat shit, Flyman.
Harry took a deep breath and then belted his battle cry. Let the druids play. Someone gon' get slayed.
That's awful.
That's his battle cry, dude.
Oh, man.
The crowd erupted into a blood-hungry chorus of screams and curses. Someone just straight up stabbed a dude standing next to him for no reason.
I like how both stories so far had a druid's off and the crowds just going
crazy.
Oh, and man. Someone getting killed as collateral damage.
Yeah, it's for no
collateral
reason.
Collateral damage. Yeah. Both stories had collateral damage. Man.
A blood-curdling double bass beat started. The ground quivered. Turns out the double bass had nothing to do with the fight. It was just Axel the Dragon practicing drums for his Battle Keg audition the next day.
Aw, dude!
Axel!
Battle Keg!
Immediately, the druids began to summon their familiars. Liana summoned her war dog with a whistle. Brock perfectly executed a backward flipping roundhouse kick that ripped open an interdimensional time rift. A time mare emerged and Brock landed on its back. With a snap of Harry's fingers, a flaming sky dragon descended from the clouds. It had a thin, flickering mustache that could only be described as Asian racist.
So much Asian racist!
I know!
What?
I know!
Even though Mr. Yagatori is not racist.
Whoa! Is that an Asian racist dragon? Asked Perry. No, it's just a regular flaming sky dragon. They all look like that, said Harry.
Wow,
that makes it even more racist, yelled an onlooker. With the point of his finger, Harry's sky dragon soared into the crowd and devoured the onlooker whole, spitting out the charred bones, which still contained the dude's soul. He would have to live the rest of his life as a stupid burnt skeleton that not even the dumb regular skeletons would like.
Oh my god.
Damn.
God damn it, thought Perry. That dude is totally fuckable. In that moment of distraction, Liana and Brock attacked. Liana sicked her war dog on Harry's throat while Brock whipped his time mare into a canter around the sky dragon. Harry smiled and sidestepped the dog, firing off a bolt of chain lightning that hit Liana and sent her into what were either convulsions or a really good crumping routine. While the others were distracted, Perry considered his options. All his familiars were truly on cooldown, except for one. He grimaced and summoned his last-ditch familiar with a magical phrase question. Hey, remember that sister from Family Matters that just disappeared after, like, one season? They never even tried explaining that, did they?
Beep! That's how he gets summoned.
Yeah, that's how he wasn't one to summon him, so he made it very, very difficult to summon him. From a diminutive puff of smoke popped a little brown chipmunk. He wore the tiniest little red bandana around his head and had a miniature steel gauntlets on his scrawny chipmunk forearms, emblazoned with the monogram F. Oh, hey, Perry. Long time no see. How's it going? Hi, Fripp.
Oh, Fripp.
Boy, it sure has been a while. What's happening? What's good? You eating all right? You look a little thin. I've been off the wagon myself, just snacking and hitting the sweets a little too hard, putting on a little winter weight, been catching up on some old television. Y'all ever watch Arliss? You know, I was never big on classic HBO, but that show just tickles me.
Damn, Fripp is the shit.
Fucking watching HBO in Orsk.
He's got another, he lives in another dimension, dude.
Oh, true.
Who knows what dimension he lives in, man? Damn. It's got HBO, though, I know that much.
It's gotta be a good dimension.
Perry sighed. Fripp continued to ramble. In the distance, Harry skillfully flipped behind Liana's war dog and broke its neck so violently that the entire head ripped off.
Oh my god!
Throwing the head in the air, he performed a supersonic Pele kick that sent the head rocketing towards Brock's chest. It tore a hole right through him, and then achieved escape velocity into wizard space.
Wizard space, that's canon.
Brock's time mare disappeared, and his jelly-legged dead body did a few wobbly steps before crumpling into a heap. Liana was regaining her senses, but as she stood herself up, the Sky Dragon swooped down in front of her. Its flaming back transformed into 15 separate flame Tommy guns and began spraying fiery bullets into her body. Harry Knucklefuck turned towards Perry and smiled with murderous intent. He pulled out a gleaming black steel bastard sword and sprinted toward him. Fripp was muttering something about buying gift cards for everyone he knew for the holidays. Perry, useless without his transformation abilities, resigned himself to death. As Harry closed in on him, the great sword now raised above his head in preparation of a killing blow. Perry closed his eyes and raised his arms up in preparation of being cut in twain. But the slice never came. Opening his eyes, Perry saw Fripp bicycle kicking Harry in the face, his tiny little chipmunk legs pumping so quickly that he was using Harry's face as a speed bag. All the while, Fripp was singing, "Baby, baby, baby, baby. Oh, my baby, 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 baby. You're my baby, baby." It was a song that Fripp made up and sang all the time. But no one but Fripp liked, but he always claimed had gone triple, quadruple platinum in his home dimension.
Oh, my God,
Fripp.
Harry's body slumped to the ground as Fripp perfectly executed a final backwards rotating bicycle kick. People are really good at kicks right now.
Dude, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perry sensed his chance to finish the fight and summoned a magical wrestling ring. He performed an ultimate warrior pump-up routine by grabbing the ropes and getting really pissed. Then climbed a turnbuckle to deliver an electrified moonsault.
Really pissed.
Really pissed. Right as he was about to land, Harry's still really racist-looking sky dragon formed itself into a giant flaming fist and punched Perry right in his wiener berries.
Wiener berries.
The shockwave of the brutal sack punch sent Perry flying into the air. He resigned himself again to death because he wasn't all that hopeful of a guy. However, he felt a tug on his left pinky and a swift change in direction. Fripp was swinging him in a full circle lasso whip above his head.
Hey, you're a craft beer guy, right?
Asked Fripp.
Oh my God.
You ever try Darren O's Dwarven Brown Ale? Mm. What do you think of it? It's a bit heady for me, but, you know, they have other good brews, so I've, you know, really been giving it a solid try. I always have been more of a kind of a stout guy, but you gotta try new things every now and then, right?
Giving it a solid try.
A solid try. Oh, man.
Fripp released Perry with a violent snap and sent him flying legs first into Harry's direction. His foot jump-kicked Harry so hard and square in the face that Harry's nose bone went straight into his brain, the most deadly and illegal move in all of karate, jujitsu, and Daranosian sex wrestling combined.
Dude, that's true. That's canon. I know that's right.
Before Harry's body exploded into a horribly painful series of death spasms. His nose bone sliced open a lobe of his brain that caused him to remember every sad moment in his life ever.
And, oh my god.
And relive them in a timeless mind prison of misery.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Perry fell hard onto the ground, all oxygen escaping his lungs. Harry's body crumpled down on top of him, the dead weight pinning him. Fripp stood next to him, brushing dirt and blood off of his gauntlets.
Have you ever met my cousin? He's really been chapping my buns lately. I mean, I love the guy to death, don't get me wrong, but he sure is a lazy bones. I keep telling him to get out and find a job, but he says he has one. He says he's in new media. But we all know that's a sham and it's really on the dole. Well, I better get home and make sure he hasn't burnt the place down. I'll see you, Perry. Don't be a stranger. I love our talks. Okay, toodles.
Perry's vision doubled, and his head was spinning. All right. Bye, Fripp. Fripp disappeared into another puff of smoke that formed into the shape of an F and then dissipated. Fleetwood Mac secondhand news started playing, and there was an inexplicable credit sequence. Finn.
Oh my god.
Dude, Fripp.
That was a great story.
I want to see his adventures. I want a podcast that's just about Fripp traveling through dimensions.
Oh my god. He's just so badass, but he's so annoying.
So annoying. You can't.
Are you guys ready for my story?
Yeah.
All right, this one's called Order of the Bark. Dusk fell on the forest of enchanting fantasticisms in Orkspire.
Yeah.
Enchanted creatures all over were bustling about, heading to their tiny homes in hopes that it was taco night. Or at least spaghetti night. One enchanted creature was heard yelling about how she'd been eating the same goddamn pine cone for a week. And it was awkward, so let's not get into that. A small being walked through the forest with a brown direwolf at its side, dressed in a green cloak with the hood drawn, and a staff in its hand with a cool purple jewel on top that looked like it didn't cost much, but did look really neat, suddenly stopped. It removed its hood, revealing the face of a young goblin with a long nose and big ears. It was Flint Mudmunder, young goblin druid, and his direwolf, Ace, short for Straight Dope-Ass Aces Blaze On Till Our Days On 420. He had named himself. Flint looked around. What was I supposed to be doing out here again? He raised his hand to his head and cast wisdom on himself, gaining 4 wisdom. He snapped his fingers. That's right, I'm looking for purple plants for alchemy to make a cool purple potion that lets you talk to bear ghosts, he said, and continued walking. Most goblins interested in the elements go on to be shamans, but Flint heard druids could shapeshift into more stuff, so he figured that was the way to go. Who wouldn't want to turn into a bear, maul on some fools, then turn into a crow and poop/pee on them? Another druid was napping on a nearby branch in the shapeshift of an orange panther. The panther woke up, looked around, and said, I hate moon stays, then fell back to sleep. Ah, here we are, said Flint as he approached a dripping plant with purple leaves. The elusive prince plant. This will work nicely. He shapeshifted into an owl, for no apparent reason, and began to gather the plant as Ace held a satchel to hold the findings. Flint was a druid of the Bark, an order of druids created to protect the forest of Orkspires. Flint, a good druid for his age, yet at times he seemed a little more interested into finding excuses to shapeshift. Suddenly, Ace's ears perked up. What is it, friend? Spoke Al Flint. But Ace did not respond. He continued to listen. Flint shapeshifted into an elk, I suppose in order to get a better listen for whatever Ace was hearing, but the truth of it is he wanted to shapeshift into an elk because he's a freaking druid, so why wouldn't you shapeshift into any animal at any given moment? Elk Flint listened. He heard it too, the faint sound of a struggle off in the distance. Trouble afoot in the forest of enchanted fantasticisms. We must alert the Owl Knights. Elk Flint raised his hoof, and as magic whipped around his antlers, and he summoned a tree brother. Yes. The stump of a tree with a happy little face pulled itself out of the ground. Hi, Flint, it spoke. Y'all want to play some Uno again? Not now, Stumplin, he said.
Stumplin.
There's trouble in the forest. You've got to head to the nearest Owl Knight station and tell them to come find me as I investigate. Can you do that? Trouble in the forest? I better arm myself, said Stumplin, as he reached down and picked up a leaf and a bent twig. Y'all bad boys better watch yourself, I got me a nunchuck, he said, as he wobbled off into the forest, twisting the twig back and forth.
Stumplin fucking rules, dude. Yep. I want to be friends with him.
Dude, yep.
He's a little happy tree stump brother.
But he gets himself a nunchuck, and he is not to be messed with.
Yeah, look out, guys. Centaur mode, yelled Flint. And oh, yeah. He turned into a centaur with glowing antlers and a wicked beard that would make you think, that guy's got a lot of books. He ran off in the direction of the sound. Ace followed closely. Centaur Flint slowed down as he approached the source of the struggle. Carefully, he and Ace moved forward. Centaur Flint reached out, pulled back some brush, and revealed a bonfire surrounded by a truly despicable meeting of evils. Who would have thought that such a horrible team-up would ever occur? Who could imagine the world could be so goddamn awful to let these two forces come together this evening? Centaur Flint didn't know, but he knew he had to do something about the snake beasts and the bandits that were beating up trees.
They're just, like, hitting trees?
Oh, yeah, brother. Gotta punch this tree so my muscles grow bigger, shouted one bandit.
All the bandits speak like professional wrestlers. They continued to beat up the tree. Yeah, you're looking tight, brah, spoke a snake beast, who are big snakes but with human torsos and arms, and they're also super buff. But check this out. The snake beast broke two branches off and beat the shit out of the tree with them. Then he bit the tree and poisoned it with his snake beast venom. All of the leaves fell off and the tree turned black. Shit yeah, yelled the bandit, and he super kicked the dead tree.
Super
knocking it over. The two high-fived and started to kick up the grass as another fuck you to nature.
Dude. Oh my god.
The dastardly crew were fucking up the forest all around them, throwing full trees onto the bonfire, continuing its growth as they destroyed the forest. Moose Flint, who had shapeshifted at least three times since this all began, could not believe his moose eyes.
What did he shapeshift into?
Well, you know, you kind of missed that. We were somewhere else. We were looking at other things. The forest of enchanting fantasticisms was being destroyed right before him, just so D-bag villains could get better bods. Some snake beasts were bench-pressing bandits who were doing curls with branches cut from the trees. Jock Jams Volume 1 was playing, and that was just making all the evil bodybuilders work out harder. Muscles were getting hard, you guys.
Yo, that's a fact. If you work out the Jock Jams 1,
that is 100% true.
Double buff.
Dude, if you're evil.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Snake Flint had seen enough. He slithered forward and took his goblin form. Halt! Yelled Flint. You are in violation of the forests. Shut up, nerd! Shouted a snake beast as he punched Flint in the stomach and he doubled over.
Jeez.
Nice staff, turd! Yelled a bandit.
As he seized Flint's staff, he looked it over, pocketed the purple gem, then broke it in half over another bandit's skull. The same bandit walked forward and punched Flint in the face. Two snake beasts held Flint up by his arms. The bandit spoke, "Nobody interrupts my reps!" as he punched Flint in the face again.
Holy shit.
Yeah, said a snake beast. We're in the middle of getting pumped for Lord Radix's most evil yearly feast, and we're not gonna let some tree-hugging, river-drinking, no-shoe-wearing, butthole-smelling, farty butt get in our way. Now to super punch you in the face and end your life forever. The snake beast made a fist, pulled his arm back, and just as he was about to throw it forward, Ace the direwolf jumped through the air and ripped it off with his massive wolf jaws.
Fuck yeah.
The snake beast screamed as Ace swung the arm back and forth in his mouth, then let go, flying in the air until it landed on the head of one of the other snake beasts holding up Flint, and the super punch connected, and the snake beast's head exploded, and blood went everywhere as Ace howled a howl so loud that the other snake beast holding Flint exploded. Now free, Flint quickly casts Root on the immediate surrounding foes, then a regrowth heal on his face. Gotta take care of the old moneymaker. Animal growth! Yelled Flint, casting it upon Ace. Ace grew 3 times his normal size and started eating bandits and snake beasts left and right. They didn't taste great, and they were a little gamey, but Ace knew that it had to be done.
That's right.
Suddenly, a tree stump fell out of the air and landed on one of the bandits' head, also exploding it. Jesus. Reinforcements! It was Stumplin' and Owl Knights.
Dude!
Sir Stumplin'? Kingsley...
Stumplin' brought that? Owl Knights with
him? Yeah, man. Oh, yeah.
Dude, fucking that's...
Stumplin', man!
Dude, Stumplin', man, coming through. He's a solid tree brother who likes Uno. Yep.
Stumplin' and Fripp crossover, dude,
oh my god. Life. They're probably friends.
Probably.
Sir Kingsley Regalius, leader of the Owl Knights, and his team swooped in, cutting dudes up like it was nobody's business. Flint was casting plagues on bad guys' faces all over. He even shot a charm spell or two out there and had the bandits and the snake beasts kiss each other just for no good reason.
Sounds like a good reason to me.
A bandit charged at Flint with a double axe handle smash, but Flint dodged it. He quickly countered by turning into a bear, mauling the bandit, then turning into a crow and pooping slash peeing on the bandit. After much violence, all the enemies were slain. Flint called upon the sky to douse the forest with rain, putting out the bonfire. The forest of enchanting fantasticisms was protected another day, but also covered in gross snake beast blood. Flint was proud of their success. Not far away, in a hollowed black mountain, a wizard watched the act all take place on an all-sea ball, a magical sphere that lets you peep on fools.
Peep on fools.
He puffed his evil dank wizard weed his pipe and remained expressionless as he watched the defense cleanse the forest.
Oh my god.
The end.
Oh my god.
Dude, I don't know.
Is it Radicast?
Dude, I don't know.
Oh my god, I gotta know.
If he's smoking that dank ass wizard weed.
It could be anyone, honestly.
Well, if he was smoking evil dank wizard weed.
It could literally be.
Oh, yeah.
This could be anyone. Well, Paul, thank you for joining us on this very special Thanksgiving episode of Fantasy Fiction. We really didn't address that, but yeah, it's the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah. It is. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun. I hope to do it again.
It was great.
It was over the top ridiculous. Yeah. I gotta say, maybe make your own world, because you got some big ideas.
Yeah, man.
Coming through. All right? That's all I want
to
say.
I haven't wanted to add to the world too much, but maybe I will.
Maybe you will. Maybe.
Maybe you will. Maybe you make your own little world. Little Paul Ritchie town.
I think you're ready, Paul. I think you're ready.
But thanks again, and thank you guys out there for listening to our show.
Yes.
If you guys want to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, any of that stuff, that's always in the show notes. And guys, Keep On Wizarding shirts are now available at fantasyfiction.spreadshirt.com. And make sure to take a look around the website first, because I think there's usually coupon codes to get discounts. So any opportunity to screw those guys out of money, you know we want to let you do it. But thanks again. Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone. And Josh, you know what? No, Paul.
Paul, go ahead. Do it.
Ready?
Yeah. Keep on wizarding!
Keep on wizarding, everybody. Have a good Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.